The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
Case 11 from the Book of Serenity, The Record of Going Easy. Yunmen's two illnesses. The preface. Without a body, a person suffers illness. Without hands, a person combines medicine. Without a mouth, a person swallows food. Without receiving, a person is happy and peaceful. Yet do tell, how can you recuperate from an illness caused by the medicine? Great Master Yunmen said, when the light has not penetrated and dropped off, there are two kinds of illness. One is where everything is not clear and before you there is something. The other is penetrating the emptiness of all dharmas, but vaguely there seems to be an object. This too is the light having not completely penetrated and dropped off. Again, the Dharma body also has two kinds of illness. One illness is receiving the Dharma body as the Dharma, holding it and not forgetting, seeing it as if it exists. This is to fall on the side of the Dharma body. Another is, even though having passed straight through, you cannot let go. Next, carefully, attentively, examine one by one, what breath is this? This too is exactly illness. And the verse. The limitless tangle of all things allows for the extraordinary. Freely penetrating through and dropping hinders the eye. Who has the strength to sweep out this garden? What's hidden in a person's heart surely turns into feelings. A boat crossing the river sideways is soaked with the blue-green autumn. Oars enter the illuminated reed flowers bright as snow. An old fisherman immediately takes the perch on the line to the market. A single leaf flutters on a flowing wave. A single leaf flutters on a flowing wave. So we encounter the words of those who came before us. The great Yunmen, who has been, we might say, one of the guiding teachers of this whole three-week residency and sesshin. The great, mighty Yunmen, the taciturn Yunmen, dried shit stick, sesame bun. Yunmen, who gave his life to you. And to me, Yunmen, who was on this earth for a brief time, many, many generations ago, did his best, met the circumstances of his life, and offered himself to the Dharma. He was a servant of the Dharma, a servant of Buddha, who found in this Buddhist tradition and in this newly forming Zen tradition a way to point to what cannot be spoken about directly. And through his teaching, his words, and his presence, he opened the way for all of us. Our mission here at this temple, this Zen organization, is to create and sustain a vital place of Zen practice for ourselves, for those around us, and for those who come after us. During this time, we've all tasted some of the finest wine in Worcester. We have all had some glimpse of some extraordinary world, and also glimpses of the many realms and variations, the hell realms, the fighting demon realms, the hungry ghosts, the realms of the gods. We traverse these many realms of human experience. The wheel of the Dharma turns and turns. This wondrous wheel of the Dharma and our Zen way is to join in. Our Zen way is not about somehow achieving mastery over anything. Our Zen way is learning how to follow. How to follow life itself, how to follow the unfolding of this moment, this moment and this moment and this moment. And we practice. We practice not to become perfect. Of course, we all harbor just a secret hope that it might work. But as one teacher said, my zazen is not a trick. Ultimately, zazen is not a technique. Zazen is an expression of life and love. Zazen is the place where we can be wholehearted, where we can be the fullness of human life. We can be utterly discouraged and dark. We can be utterly elated, utterly angry, utterly anxious. Traversing these many realms, the point is not to find a permanent place to rest. There is nothing that stays. No escape, the five remembrances, no escape from old age, no escape from sickness, no escape from death, no escape from losing everything we have. What is most precious to us will vanish in the great coming and going. This joyous and terrible, awesome coming and going. And so Yun Men giving his life to these teachings, also was aware that these teachings are a problem. We talk a lot about stories and seeing through the stories, appreciating stories, not bad, but coming into some greater immediacy with life itself beyond your story of how you should be or what should be happening. And the beauty of this intimacy of knowing for yourself, when we eat our breakfast and come across a beautiful half of a grape, perfectly formed. How did the grapevine do this? How did it come here to my bowl? And I can taste its sweetness and the juiciness of it. And I can smile the gold of the earth, right? The cream of the long river, the life itself bringing forth life itself. And this wonderful tradition, Buddhism and Zen, for me too. Obviously, I've bet my money on this particular story, not as the one true story, and maybe not even as a true story, but as a story that has great power and these skillful means that have been holding us, this container, these patterns, these rhythms of sitting and walking and eating and resting. So beautiful. But Yunmen was aware of the limits. He had, as we have said, many disciples and many students. People would come to him, people would hear, "Oh, there's this incredible teacher, and you should go because he will save you." And they would come and practice quite hard. And Yunmen cared so deeply, as we do for each other. I think for all of us here, one of the things that arises when we practice is this great love of these people without speaking, without engaging in the way we usually do. We can begin to feel what is always here, but usually we're too busy. We have things to do and problems to worry about. And part of our Zen practice is simpler and simpler. The process of sitting for long periods of time for these 3 weeks of residency in Sesshin is not to accumulate. It's not about getting more and more of something. But is about settling in. Settling into what is here. And we find as we settle in that what is here has been here all along. So grateful to each other, and Yunmen too, so grateful to his students, and I suppose also inspired in his own practice, just as I am by each one of you. Each one of you, as you sit in the Zendo and meet your life, each one of you as you are slowly dissolved. Remember, WD-40 is not a lubricant, it is a solvent, right? It doesn't just make it easy, it kind of dissolves you. this process of paying attention, this process of the breath. We are each slowly disappearing and reappearing and disappearing and reappearing. We are always dying. This is not the problem, this is the way of dying. Shigyo practice, we call it. To practice dying over and over. And only as we die can we be reborn. Can we encounter something new? The cost of entrance to the game is fairly high, high ante. Have to be willing to come and sit. Have to be willing to bow. Have to be willing to tolerate, as Melissa said yesterday, weird mind states. So this caring, this love, this inspiration that happens when we come together in a place like this, in a place that is dedicated, this building now for 13 years, I think, 13, 14 years, this has been happening here on a regular basis. And the floorboards have absorbed many tears. And the floorboards have been supported, have supported many smelly feet without complaint, gladly offering themselves. So this wonderful tradition of Zen, this wonderful place, this temple, Boundless Way, Zen temple, and these gardens, the koi fish. I told Michael I would water the plants, and I went down one morning and all the fish were swimming around, and I quite eagerly, and I couldn't tell whether they were trying to fake me out. Maybe they'd already been fed and were just pretending. You know how it is. But I decided to feed them. And sprinkling the fish food on the top of the water, they come up with their beautiful bodies, swimming effortlessly, flowing, happily gobbling up the food. And if I move slowly enough, I can put my hand almost on the water and feel them swimming. Their joyous, full expression of life. And so I have been feeding the fish, have not checked with Michael, so they may be a little chubby at the end, but I figure it's kind of like being a grandparent, you know. It's okay for a little while. But anyway, this wondrous place, the fish, the trees, the katsura trees, you may have noticed on the altar, I cut down some small katsura trees. The katsuras now, as you walk in the garden, you will notice some of the leaves falling, yellow on the red brick pathway, yellow against the moss. These mighty katsura trees that were planted decades and decades ago. These mighty katsura trees that occasionally you can catch a little whiff of the fragrance, just a little cinnamon or nutmeg or something. And they give up their leaves. They also give up their seeds freely. And so all over the garden, katsura trees growing. If we left this and this place were left without tending, 20 years from now would be a forest of katsura trees. We'd have to hack our way through. But I cut down a few small ones. And put these tiny katsura trees in a vase next to the Buddha. Mighty katsura trees, the energy, the beauty expressed in each leaf that falls, just like the single leaf in the verse, fluttering, riding, flowing on the wave. But this warning of Yunmen we've been looking into, I keep getting distracted. One of the commentators, I thought, said it quite well when he was talking about what this is about. He said, this is Fo Yan said, the first illness is riding a donkey, seeking a donkey. Another illness is riding a donkey, refusing to dismount. Riding a donkey, seeking a donkey. The true self looks for the true self. Where is life? Life asks life. Where is life? Where is my head? I can't see it. Looking in a dark room, using a flashlight to look for the flashlight. Right, what is seeking is already the thing itself. Riding a donkey, refusing to dismount. So I guess maybe this is the what I've been leading up to, this riding the donkey. We have been riding the donkey. People might say, and you go home, well, what did you do? Well, we rode the donkey. Yeah. Refusing to dismount. So you don't want to dismount too early. Right? Still engaged in this. And of course, the horse sees the barn and wants to run for the barn. It's over tomorrow. Stay. I was so touched by Paul's little Dharma talk yesterday when he reminded us where the door was and said that any of us were free to leave. Some encouragement. Thank you, Tonto. Encouraged us to stay. So yes, there will be a time to get off this particular donkey. And there is a time to get off the donkey of Zen. And that time is this moment right now. This wonderful tradition and these wonderful teachings ultimately are like flowers in the air. We might say sky flowers. Right, they're like the snow on the top of the mountain. It vanishes. It is intended to leave no trace. And so we throw ourselves into these forms, and I am at least endlessly grateful for these teachings, the beauty and the subtlety and the difficulty of them. And endlessly remember that life itself is the thing. Zen is not the thing. Zen is not even a thing. Get off whatever donkey or horse we happen to be riding on. We don't have to go any further. It is already accomplished, already here. And maybe just finally with Fo Yan says further, I tell you, you do not need to mount the donkey. You are the donkey. The whole world is the donkey. How can you mount it? If you mount it, you can be sure sickness will not leave. If you do not mount it, the whole universe is wide open. Thank you. So let's make our semicircle and engage together. I tell you that you need not mount the donkey. You are the donkey. The whole world is the donkey. How can you mount it? If you mount it, you can be sure sickness will not leave. If you do not mount it, the whole universe is wide open. Next year, we'll just read that. We won't do it.
Over and over.
Yeah, well.
Well, I was just going to suggest a bumper sticker, but I don't know which sentence it would be. You are the donkey, or the whole world is the donkey.
Yeah, it's so vivid and so wonderful, right? And brings the lightness, and we go, oh, yeah, yeah. Cut right through.
You know, for me, it really follows the first line, riding the donkey. Not seeing the donkey?
Yeah. Yeah, the first illness is riding a donkey, seeking a donkey.
Seeking a donkey, yeah. That'll pull them in.
The donkey school.
The donkey school.
There's the Dong Shan school and the donkey school.
Donkey school.
Yeah, so how is it for you as you sit here in this moment? What's alive? Bix?
I resonated a lot with what you were talking about just get off the donkey. You know, let the donkey fall away.
Yeah. There really is some... I think some need to be to support that, to know that there is this, so we say, well, there's no, you can't force something, you can't push it away, but you can let it fall away. Yeah, it's not about the donkey. Yeah, great, thanks. Yeah, well.
I guess I'm just thinking about that and wondering what we're doing in a way. I mean, you know, the Dharma is, I'm always moved by those lines every single time, just rarely encountered, even in hundreds of thousands of millions of pages. And I always need and am grateful for the reminder of how lucky we are, you know, and how important the Dharma is, if you can see it at all, is very, very important. And at the same time, what is it, right? Because the donkey that falls away seems like it's the Dharma, right? Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. It's Zen, right? Is what you said. It's not about Zen, isn't it?
Right, Zen falls away. If we truly practice Zen, Zen falls away.
Zen falls away. So it's both very important, and you have to remind yourself how important it is. At least I do. I suppose it falls away of its own accord, so we don't have to worry about that part, right? In some sense.
Well, and what you're saying reminds me of the reason I chose the Genjo koan at the very end about fanning, right? The nature of wind. Well, the wind's here. I don't need to do anything, right? And what's the so that this conundrum of how do we participate? How do we because something is required?
Yeah.
Right. It really is.
Well, and it's pretty extreme. I mean, what we've done this week.
Yeah.
It's not just something.
Right. Not everything.
You know, this keeps making me think of a bunch of metaphors for what we're kind of all pointing to. If you're in front of a lake and you don't have anything to put the water in, you can't lift it up and drink it. You know, you can maybe a little bit with your hands. But so there's something about how the vessel allows you to see it. And I've talked about this a lot, this garden we went to in... I talked about it in a Dharma talk a week ago. So those of you who were here didn't hear it, but some of you did. This garden we went to in northern Italy, beautiful Tuscan landscapes everywhere. And this American actually had decided to make a garden and put frames around the garden so that when you walked down these paths, you'd see these landscapes. But because they were framed, it's almost like everybody took them for granted. And it had to be an American who came in and did this. And then there's the Buddha's, one of his most beloved aphorisms, which really is something the Buddha said. You can find him all over the internet, and it's almost always not him. But he said, the raft is not the shore. So we actually, I need a raft to get me from one place to another. But then you don't pick up the raft on the other shore and put it on your head and walk around. And I think that's where we let the donkey fall away. But I loved what you said. Don't get off the donkey too soon.
Right.
You know, or the raft.
Right. Blow, blow.
With a little rope. Because we really are blind.
Yeah.
We're blind, not in a good way. There's Zen blindness. It's good, but this is missing what's right in front of us. And I think there's so many wonderful commentaries to this koan that pretty much say that. It's right in front of your nose, but you don't see it. You don't feel it. You don't taste it. You've drunk 3 cups of the finest wine in Worcester. but you still, in the rest of that line is that you still say that it hasn't touched your lips. You know, it's like we just don't appreciate. And I'm hearing a lot of appreciation now from Bix and Will and feeling it from other people. Lucky. And this framework is just one framework, right? It's not, there are other ways of encountering the Dharma.
And I really want to appreciate how you opened up with your question and statement by quoting the Dharma is rarely encountered. First of all, it's an incredible rarity to be a conscious human in the first place. Tiles, pebbles, stones, they express the Dharma, but they can't encounter it like a human with consciousness can. And then to be a human being who decides to go on sashimi is incredibly rare. And then in the moment that you may think, well, we encounter it, you know, at every sutra service. Well, every moment the Dharma arises, but it's so, it can be so elusive because we're looking someplace else for it. So just to say that it's rarely encountered, you know, for me, just makes it so much more precious and so much more worth giving my life to.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Will. Yeah, Dave.
I just wanted to say that something I really appreciated with this, the whole, all the readings and the koan, and I can't tell sometimes whether it's art or it's teaching. there's this artistic art.
Mm-hmm.
There's this kind of artistic component to it, where the something that comes is this kind of tenderness that comes through somehow because of the imagery or the way it's, I don't know, the way it's set. It's not so much it's the way we express ourselves in art and music, or it's something comes through, and I don't know, there's this weird line that's kind of balanced between, is this poetry or is it teaching? I don't know. And I appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
We looked to Alan.
Yeah, that's something that drew me to Zen in the first place and continues to draw me to it. It is that because you can't put it into discursive language, and yet you want to express something, you know, Zen teachers have always turned to calligraphy, to poetry, to shakuhachi flute, to the whole history of Zen going way back in China is bound up with artistic expression, but not in the name of virtuosity and not in the name of entertainment, but just trying to give some kind of opening, some kind of voice to what's in your heart, and that you can't write another sutra, you know, that'll be there. I mean, there are a few Zen-inspired sutras, but nothing like earlier tradition. There are many more Zen poems, and a lot of the Zen teachers wrote death poems, and wrote a poem as they were dying. A lot of the Zen teachers wrote poems about their awakening experience, and I love that way of getting away from any kind of how-to manual, and instead just writing a few lines and then letting them loose on the world without too much care about even whether they'll be printed or just lost, like Han Shan's poems on his cave walls.
Thank you.
I'm thinking too, this is a completely different version of your answer, but the whole flow of life can be very beautiful if we do include everything. And I think about, I did a training, a Soto priest training once, which is fairly traumatic, and I won't get into that part of it. But talk about doing everything right. And I complained to the teacher. You know, I said, it feels like, she was a former ballet dancer. And everything felt like we were doing some choreographed dance, and it was just driving me nuts. I'd taken dance classes in my life, but this was just the rigidity of it. And she laughed at me. This was private. And she said, well, just go with the choreography, see what happens. And it's really been years for me to understand what she meant. I felt it this week very strongly. Having taught, I'm going to veer off a little bit. Having taught mindfulness for so many years, I realized that there were a few different varieties of mindfulness that arise in our style of Zen as well. One of them is about paying attention, like with almost a, pay attention, stop being distracted, don't look away. We try to say those things more gently, I think, here. But every morning, I think it is, when I fill my water bottle in the sink, these three ways of being mindful come to me. So one is, I see the food that's been left and hasn't been put in the compost in the drain, dish drainer. And there's one thought that arises, damn it, why didn't they see this? There's another beyond that that arises with, oh, I'm here. I get to scoop this up and throw it in the compost. But the third one, I think, is related to what you two are saying. There's a flow that happens. There's seeing and just knowing in enlightened activity, the activity body, you just scoop. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. There's a story that Shinri Suzuki Roshi every night would go to the kitchen and eat all the leftovers that had not been thrown in the compost in the dish drains. I don't go that far. but it's not, there's no right or wrong in this. There's no somebody forgot. There's no this is wrong, this is ugly, this is bad. There's just my arm, my fingers reach out, scoop up. And you can almost, it's a dance. Into the compost, wash my hands, then fill my water bottle. You know, and I feel like I don't do this, but because of that slowing down from one version of mindfulness to another, it's truly art. So everything that everybody's been doing all week is art. Jeannie teaches yoga, just standing, waiting, saying, prepare for yoga. That's art. Our two tantos now, because now we have two tantos. they say things into the zendo, like beautiful, inspiring words, or we're going to do this now and we need to remember to do that. They're all the same. Do you see where I'm going? So this is... And then it turns into poetry and it turns into dance. But there's something about feeling our butts on the donkey and just riding it so thoroughly and letting everything else take care of itself. Not our business. So if that made any sense, thank you.
Yeah, Jeannie.
I want to say something about getting off the donkey and not wanting to.
Getting what on the donkey?
I want to say something about getting off the donkey not wanting to get off the donkey.
Oh, yeah.
Which any session I've gone to, including this one, I alternate. I miss my kids. I miss my garden. And that stayed away until yesterday. I really miss them.
Yeah.
I wondered if those cucumbers were turning into baseball bats, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Usually what happens at the end of a session is, I don't want to go off the donkey. I don't want to go home. I love this practice. And I thought, well, maybe if I go for 3 weeks, which I just did. Like that guy who went...
Over-meditated.
Sorry. Yeah. So I've been sitting here thinking, and Melissa talking about the stuff in the dish drain. And
I'm missing a lot of what you're saying. I'm so sorry.
When I get home, what I get to notice is that, I miss the forms, I miss the practice, I miss my sangha, but I do get to notice the choreography of my life. And I think that's, so it's sort of the donkey is the practice, that flow, not the rigid choreography, but the real choreography. And when I stop feeling like I'm dancing through my life, it's not when I know I have to go sit again, right?
Yeah. Right, this is meeting circumstances. The great thing we're training to do is to dance all the time, to respond. And we're practicing being held by what we're meeting. So the point is not to be able to do this better. I mean, yeah, we do get better at our orioki or whatever, but to better, moment after moment, see what's here and be held by it.
And to anticipate a little bit what Will will tell us tomorrow, in our reentry suggestions, one of the suggestions is don't talk about what happened this week or for these 3 weeks. Because in a way, that's a way of staying on the donkey. It's a way of trying to keep living the experience. And it's so much better to say, so how was your week? And that's, for me, is getting off the donkey. Not clinging to it. Not trying to tie it up with a bow. And then present it to other people.
Sorry, I'm just picturing that donkey that you tied up with a bow.
Here, have my donkey.
Yeah, we love mixed metaphors.
And also, I'm thinking back to what I said to Sabrina yesterday about how maybe this is the reality and that's the dream. But what if it's all a dream? You know, really, it isn't that different. I think you're pointing to that. And to find a way to bring Sashin and daily life together, then we find our freedom. But we still need to, I love what you said at the end, we still need to come back. Because, we have all these sicknesses. And this is the medicine.
Yeah. Deb.
Oh, so I didn't know who took care of the altar. But when I would walk by, and there was all the green, but then there was this one beautiful flower that was colored. And I just I didn't know you'd appreciate the altar flower. And the part of that is the garden, too. You walk on the path, and there's this coleus that the leaves are like, lovely and velvety, and the kind of colors. And I just want to thank you for all the garden, because it's really amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Well, and one of the things that I know nourishes this garden are these retreats. You walking down the garden path, you and the garden have a little thing going, right?
And the fish too.
And the fish too, yeah, I know. But there is this reciprocal thing, like this building has this kind of resonance. And the garden, my definition of gardening used to be digging and planting. Now it's just being in the garden. So when you walk down the pathway, you are gardening. Right, as you feel, oh yes, this leaf, this is gardening. So we can all be gardeners and can get dirty or not, depending on what we want. So, yeah, thank you. Anyone else who hasn't spoken would like to? Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, I really appreciated you pulling out Yunmin, saying, you know, one of the teachers as far as of the retreat, and I really appreciate that, because I got rather intimate as far as with him over the last 3 weeks.
Mm.
And also, I really want to thank those 790 or whatever disciples that we have no idea what their names are.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I'm not here if it wasn't for those 790
right.
disciples.
Yeah.
And we're all here now. Mm. And we're part of that 790 disciples as we bring it out. So yeah. I have a hint of who's going to come after me. I can look to the left, I can look to the right, I can get a hint. And we just don't know.
No.
We just don't know.
No. Yeah. Well, on that, let's bow. More zazen.